Welcome. You're listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast, the show that cuts through the fog of war and updates you about the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
Hello, I'm Marina Yevshan, your host of the Russia-Ukraine War Report Podcast, and today is April the 24th, 2024. It has been 3,740 days since Russia started covert military operations in Crimea, 10 years and 64 days since the start of the Russia-Ukraine war, and 2 years and 2 months since Russia expanded its war of aggression. Today's podcast looks at events that happened on Tuesday and Wednesday morning. During the podcast, you will find the Russia-Ukraine war map helpful to visualize the areas discussed. A link is in the podcast description. There are map updates today. The Russia-Ukraine War Report is compiled by our team from around the world. Today's report includes information from our direct contacts and journalists in Ukraine, the Russian Ministry of Defense, the General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine Morning Reports, Operational Commands North, South and East of Ukraine, Open Source Intelligence, our in-house team of analysts and geospatial experts, and pro-Ukrainian and pro-Russian bloggers and social media channels with a track record of trying to be accurate. We have one mission, the truth, because the truth matters. Here is my daily assessment. 1. With the United States Senate approval of military aid to Ukraine, significant aid will arrive within 2 weeks and have a material impact on stabilizing Ukrainian ground and air defenses within 4 to 6 weeks. 2. In our assessment, Russian forces will intensify their ground attacks and airstrikes to maximize damage and attrition before significant aid from the US, the Czech Republic-led ammunition initiative, Belgium F-16s, the European Union ammunition, and the United Kingdom arrive in Ukraine. 3. We maintain the Russian breach of Ukrainian defensive lines in Ocheretene has created a critical situation threatening to collapse the Ukrainian defensive lines in the Avdiivka area of operation if Ukrainian units are not immediately reinforced. 4. Ukrainian forces continue to have insufficient ammunition resources, particularly short-range air defense systems, which enable the holding of existing defensive lines and protect the civilian population. 5. The world is caught in the mutually assured destruction instability paradox, with renewed nuclear threats by Kremlin leadership and Polish leadership openly discussing forward deploying United States nuclear weapons. 6. Russian forces have an operational goal to capture Chasiv Yar by May the 9th, regardless of cost. 7. In our assessment, Russia is setting conditions for a wider attack in the direction of Vuhledar, but we continue to question how much combat potential will be available to expand current operations this summer, and Moscow is under increasing pressure due to the imminent increase in military aid to Ukraine. 8. Russia's trampling of international humanitarian law has been accelerating since March the 22nd. In our assessment, the willful ignoring of blatant Russian war crimes by international watchdogs will continue to encourage escalation. 9. The disjointed response to Russian aggression by Ukraine's allies continues to embolden Moscow, leading to the most serious airspace violation of a NATO country since Russia expanded its war of aggression on February 24, 2022. Inaction by the United States and the excessively risk-averse rules of engagement forced on the NATO alliance are creating an environment ripe for a serious international incident. 10. The attacks on Ukraine's energy infrastructure have incrementally increased the chance of an intentional nuclear accident at multiple nuclear facilities in Ukraine, and the situation is more serious, especially at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, than what the International Atomic Energy Agency is reporting. Russia continued its attacks on civilians and civilian infrastructure. Since February 24, 2022, Russia has conducted 9,100 drone and missile strikes, with over 85% striking civilians, civilian infrastructure, or commerce and trade targets. Addressing his nation about the most recent attacks, President of Ukraine Volodymyr Zelensky said, quote, "Today, Russian terrorists struck our lives again. Odessa, cities and communities of Dnipro region, Donetsk region, our Kostyantynivka region, Kharkiv region, Mykolaiv region, Kherson region. There is always someone to save lives, eliminate fires, clear mines, and help our people, our communities, in all regions of Ukraine, in every city, in every district, no matter how close it is to the front or the border with Russia. I thank the entire team of the State Emergency Service of Ukraine, all the employees of the National Police who care about people, each and every one who works in emergency medicine teams. Unquote. Two Fab 500 UMPK glide bombs intentionally targeted the residential area of Shevchenkivsky district in Kharkiv, striking a high-rise building. Four apartment buildings, several private homes, and a gas pipeline were damaged. Six people were wounded in the attack. In Donetsk Oblast, the settlement of Kostyantynivka was hit by at least two UMPB D-30SM precision-guided glide bombs, injuring five people who were in the car. Two are in critical condition and were transferred to a hospital in Dnipro. Pokrovsk was also attacked, killing one civilian. On the morning of April the 24th, Odessa was hit by at least two cruise missiles, sparking a large fire and knocking out electrical power in parts of the city. At the time of recording, one woman was reported as injured in the attack, and 30 homes were damaged. Overnight, video showed the work of the Ukrainian Air Force shooting down Shahed 136 one-way drones over the Black Sea. We'll link to the video in our Almost Daily Situation report, and there is more information in the podcast description on how you can become a patron. In the Dnipropetrovsk Oblast, the city of Dnipro was attacked again, possibly by an S-300 anti-aircraft missile used for a ground attack, wounding 8 civilians. Four are hospitalized, including two pensioners. Russian artillery positions near the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant shelled the Nikopol Rayon, damaging a four-story apartment building and 16 homes, leaving two people wounded. A Russian artillery strike on the village of Kozatske in the Kherson region killed an 82-year-old woman. Additionally, a pensioner was wounded in Bereslav by a drone-dropped IED. In the Sumy Oblast, Bilopilya was hit by 6 Grad rockets, wounding one. When the attack started, the man tried to run for cover, but was hit by shrapnel in his shoulders, back, hips and legs. A Russian artillery strike on the Shalyhina Hromada wounded two women. Moving to the action report, we start in Kharkiv Oblast in the Svatove area of Operation Oriol. Ukrainian forces repelled a Russian probe of their defensive lines east of Berestove. Further south in Luhansk Oblast, Russian forces probed Ukrainian defenses northeast of Grekivka, suffered losses, and returned to their defensive positions. Fighting continued in the Kremennaya, where Russian forces attempted to advance in the direction of Terny and Yampolivka without success. In the Siversky of Luhansk Oblast, it was a similar situation. Russian forces restarted attacks southeast of Bilohorivka and continued to be unsuccessful in making new territorial gains. Russian attacks also continued northeast of Verkhnyokamenskoye, with no change in the situation. Moving to the Donbas, in northeastern Donetsk Oblast, Russian forces made another round of attacks in the Siversky of Donetsk Oblast, continuing offensive operations east of Spirna. In the Solidaryo, the Russian Ministry of Defense, or Armad, claimed fighting restarted near Rozdolivka. In the Kostyantynivka AO, Ukrainian forces have pushed Russian forces back from Chasiv Yar and stabilized their defensive lines despite relentless attacks by the VKS, also known as the Russian Aerospace Forces. We moved the line of conflict away from Chasiv Yar and reduced the gray area, based on Russian and Ukrainian reports. Russian mercenary mailblogger Wagonzo reported fighting was ongoing at the, quote, outskirts of Bogdanivka, echoing Ukrainian reports. Fighting also continued on the eastern edge of the Novy micro-district of Chasiv Yar, and Ukrainian forces made small improvements in their defensive lines within the northern part of Ivanivske. Fighting continued north and east of Klishchivka, with no change in the situation. In In southwest Donetsk Oblast, Russian forces further expanded their control in Ucheretene, continuing to threaten a wider breach of Ukrainian defensive lines. In the Avdiivka AO, fighting continued in the southeastern tip of Novokolenovo, with no significant changes. Russian troops now control 50-60% of Ucheretene, advancing in the directions of Arkhangelske to the north and Progress to the west. The Russian advance has slowed, but Ukrainian forces have not stabilized the situation and permitted Russian forces to widen their breach. Russian forces had a friendly fire incident, firing on a group of their own troops who were wearing NATO-style uniforms, which is perfidy, a war crime under the Geneva Conventions. Russian propagandists initially claimed that their troops were part of the Freedom of Russia Legion and supported by NATO, but errors in the passports that were shown as proof, and one dead soldier identified as being a member of the Russian 30th Brigade, exposed the disinformation campaign. The defense of Ucheretene has become further complicated with the Russian advance into Novobakhmutivka, taking control of 75% of the village and advancing toward Solovyovo. Along the rest of the defensive lines west of Avdiivka, Ukrainian forces continued to hold back Russian troops. Fighting continued in Berdychi and east of Semenivka, Umanske, Yasnobrodivka and Netailovo. South of Pervomayske, Russian troops were unable to hold the garden plots. We adjusted the line of conflict, but kept the area as a gray zone. In the Vuhledar AO, positional fighting continued on the southeast edges of Krasnohorivka, with no change in the situation. Fighting was also lighter east of Georgievka and northwest of Pobeda. The General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine continues to deny that Russian forces captured Novomikhailivka and reported fighting continued. Russian sources reported fighting on the outskirts of Paraskovievka. We maintain that Ukrainian forces have withdrawn from Novomikhailivka, but Russian forces have not been able to establish military control. Russian attacks from Solotke in the direction of Vodyane restarted with no change in the situation. Fighting became lighter in the Staromlinivka AO, with Ukrainian forces repulsing Russian probing attacks west of Staromayorske. Near occupied Zaporizhke, a Russian 9S-32M1 radar and a mobile command vehicle for the S-300 and S-400 air defense system were destroyed by rockets fired by HIMARS. Russia recently moved up S-300 and S-400 air defense systems closer to the line of conflict after ending flight operations of A-50 AWACS aircraft. The increasing number of radars within the range of Ukrainian weapons are being used to fill the air defense and early warning gaps. There was new activity in Zaporizhia and Kherson oblasts. In the Orikhiv AO of Zaporizhia Oblast, Russian mercenary Milblogovo Gonzo claimed that fighting continued northwest of Verbove and south of Robotene, with no change in the situation. Northeast of Novoprokopivka, a squad of Russian troops, unsupported by artillery, armor, the VKS or drones, attempted to storm a trench line at night. Their vehicle crashed into the trench. The dismounts were hit by artillery using DPICM rounds, more commonly known as cluster munitions. We link to a video of the failed attack in today's situation report. In the Kherson AO, Russian forces launched a single attack on Ukrainian positions in Krynke, suffered losses and retreated to the forest. Members of the Ukrainian 35th Naval Infantry Brigade raised their flag on the water tower in Kozachi Lagery. In our assessment, this does not represent a new advance and was meant to harass Russian troops. In occupied Kakhovka, a car carrying Russian troops was struck by a first-person view one-way drone. The smoke from the fire could be seen from Free Kherson, and power was knocked out to parts of the settlement. Ukraine launched a large-scale drone attack across Russia on the night of April the 23rd and the 24th. In Smolensk, the oil depots in Razdorovo and Yartsevo were hit, with both on fire. There were no indications that air defenses attempted to intercept the UAVs. In Voronezh, an oil depot was hit by up to 5 drones, with a dramatic video showing at least 3 storage tanks destroyed and on fire. The governor of the Lipetsk region, Igor Artamonov, said that a drone crashed into an industrial area and evacuations had been ordered. No information about damage or casualties was provided. A Russian aircraft dropped a Kh-59 guided air-to-surface missile near the village of Krasne in Belgorod. The missile landed in a field and was destroyed, although it wasn't clarified if it exploded on impact or was neutralized by engineers. Finally, partisans firebombed the commissariat offices in Stavropol, causing superficial damage.
You're listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast. Our team of journalists, researchers, and analysts is funded by readers, listeners, and viewers just like you. To support independent journalism, please consider becoming a patron. You can find us on patreon.com at Malcontent News.
Here is my theater-wide update. The United States Senate approved the aid packages to Israel, Taiwan, and Ukraine, the Repo Act, and a TikTok ban in a 79-18 vote. The bill moves to President Joe Biden's desk today for his signature. Yesterday, Senator Mike Lee delayed approval by calling for a procedural vote to add amendments to the supplemental security bills. The motion failed in an 80-19 vote, with one senator refusing to vote. The vote restricted senators to 30 hours to introduce amendments to the bill, but any senator who wished to speak was limited to 1 hour on the floor. Lee didn't have much support, and approximately 8 hours later, the full Senate voted on the bill. The first military aid package is expected to be announced this week and will include at least $1 billion in equipment and ammunition. It is widely expected to include long-range ATACMS missiles, as mandated in the security package passed by the Senate. Russia vowed to increase attacks on Ukraine. German officials are pressuring the United States to provide Ukraine with another Patriot battery, as Chancellor Olaf Scholz leads the effort to find more air defense systems for Ukraine. The Ukrainian ambassador to the United States, Oksana Markarova, said that negotiations were ongoing for licenses to produce Patriot air defense systems in Ukraine. Quote, "We are actively working on it. We should start producing a lot ourselves, at least components, and ideally some finished products. We understand that even after our victory, Russia won't just disappear." The $617 million military aid package from the UK includes 60 coastal raid, gun and dive boats, over 1,600 strike and air defense missiles, including long-range versions of the Storm Shadow, more than 400 vehicles, including 322 infantry mobility vehicles, and 4 million rounds of small arms ammunition. In a separate announcement, the UK is providing 33 emergency vehicles, including 22 fire trucks, offsetting equipment destroyed by Russian attacks. France announced a new military aid package, which includes Aster-30 missiles for SAMP/T air defense system, which is similar to the American Patriot. There were multiple reports in Greece that the US was close to an agreement to provide one Patriot air defense system to Ukraine in exchange for temporary security guarantees. It's time to take a trip to the land of Mobix, Mobilization and Mir. At the time of publication, the Czech-based Russian officers killed in Ukraine has documented 3,994 deaths since February 24, 2022. The number does not include members of the 1st and 2nd Army Corps of the so-called Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republic, Chechen forces, or high-ranking leaders of private military companies. After announcing the count had reached 3,990, 4 more deaths were documented. Russia has lost approximately 5 officers a day since Moscow expanded its war of aggression against Ukraine, and will cross the grim milestone of 4,000 officers lost this week. Russian Minister of Defense Sergei Shoigu announced that the S-500 air defense system would be deployed to Ukraine. Shoigu said that the upgrades include, quote, long-range air defense missile systems and anti-missile defense complexes S-400 and S-300 V-4 air defense missile systems, Buk-M3, Tor-M2U missile systems, and next-generation radar stations. He further claimed that the new system would be capable of intercepting ballistic missiles. Interestingly, the announcement came on the same day the Senate approved new military aid to Ukraine, which includes a mandate to provide ATACMS missiles. Although I haven't talked much about Putin's purge, it is still ongoing. The Deputy Defense Minister of Russia, Timur Ivanov, was arrested for receiving a bribe of particularly large size. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters that Minister of Defense Shoigu had informed autocrat Vladimir Putin that an arrest had been made. Ivanov oversaw the construction, reconstruction, and overhaul department for the Ministry of Defense, and was responsible for restoration work in Mariupol, as well as military housing and medical support facilities. He has been in his current role since 2016 and is one of the wealthiest employees of the Ministry of Defense. Ivanov's corruption was an open secret, and the arrest almost certainly is not due to accepting bribes. If convicted, he faces up to 15 years in a penal colony. The Russian Ministry of Internal Affairs raided the offices of the YouTube channel Beautiful Russia just hours before a press conference was to be held, exposing the corruption of a Moscow businessman. The owner of the channel, Yevgeny Anisimov, was detained for spreading fakes about the Russian Federation Armed Forces. And finally, Roskomnadzor has demanded that the language app Duolingo remove LGBT propaganda, and warned that the company was violating the, quote, prohibition of publishing materials promoting non-traditional sexual relationships. And that's what we know. Your support of my home, Ukraine, helps us make history and protect the future for all.
You've been listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast. To help keep us independent, please consider providing financial support by becoming a patron. Want on-demand news in your hand? Download the Google News app and make Malcontent News one of your favorites to receive breaking news updates. Thank you for listening.